We're going to continue in our series, Can You Hear Me Now? And Pastor Wayne is going to share about testing our heart's receptivity. God is constantly speaking His love and His word into our lives, and we're going to learn how to put our hearts in a place where we can be receptive to all that He's telling us. And in a world where there's so many voices competing for our attention, it becomes so important to be able to receive and be receptive to what God wants to tell us, because His words are true and His words are covered in love, and His word in our lives should be the final word. But before He comes out, let's listen to this.
Love knows my name, sees my need, gives me hope, covers me. Even through the middle of the storm, love has no fear, finds no blame. The truth will never change. And after every voice is heard, love has a final word. Time I look around, I see things I thought were kingdoms crashing to the ground, and I can't help but wonder where I stand. Sometimes life is like a battlefield where I walk among the wounded, and the scars are all too real. But I will not surrender to the pain. What has been, what is now, and what is yet to be gives me every reason to believe. Love knows my name, sees my need, gives me hope, covers me. Even through the middle of a storm, love has no fear, finds no blame. Truth will never change. And after every voice is heard, love has a final word. That would somehow cause a stranger to give his life for me, with nothing I could offer in return. Well, I could turn around and walk away, but I'd have to be to not accept the price he paid, knowing it was more than I deserve. What I know, what I feel, what I can't explain, won't erase it back. The final word. I know faith can move mountains. I know hope keeps us strong. But only love holds the answer to all the mysteries. That's why I believe. Love knows my name, sees my need, gives me hope. Even through the middle of the storm. Oh, yeah. After every voice is heard. Even through the middle of the storm. Love has no fear, finds no blame. And after every the final word. I know that love is all we need. Yeah. Love has the final word.
That was beautiful. Would you take out your notes with me as we continue in our series called Can You Hear Me Now? By the way, tomorrow night at 6:30 at the Ministry Center, Pacific Rim Bible College is having and hosting an open house. So if you're interested at all about taking classes at Pacific Rim Bible College, leadership classes, Bible classes, going through several different books in the New Testament or Old Testament, you can check that out tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Ministry Center. And by the way, in August, we're going to have a School of Church Planters orientation in that we're wanting to put out 4 more satellites here on Oahu. And some of you might have gone through some work, your secular business, and it's been good. But you say, you know, I want to take a portion of my life and give it to the Lord in full-time ministry. I'd like to find out. It's not just a desire. It's a call that I'm starting to feel. And so many people move that way. Much of our staff have come from another career and heard a call and came into ministry that way. So in August, we're actually going to have an orientation for that. But rewind the tape tomorrow night for Pacific Rim Bible College if you'd like to just take a look at that and see what they're offering tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Ministry Center. All right? Well, in our notes today, we're going to be talking about a receptivity test, a test for our hearts. Jesus said just in Matthew 13, had just gotten finished with a parable of the sower and the seed. And if you've been doing devotions with us on a daily basis, you will have just read that. And you're all doing your daily devotions, right? Everybody nod like this. Yeah, because if you're lying, you should start now doing devotions. So we all want to do devotions because it helps us to layer by layer see what God is saying, hear rather what He's saying and see what He's doing. And it helps immensely. Well, He just came through teaching a parable. A what? A parable. It's a word picture. It's a story that has truth woven into its words. It was a story about a farmer sowing seed. And he threw some seed out and some got on the road and the birds ate it up. Some went on thin soil, a thin layer of soil, and it sprung up quickly. But because it had no depth of soil, it died quickly. And then I guess wind caught some other of this seed and it went and it fell among thorns or weeds and they grew up together and the weeds choked out the fruitfulness of the seed. But some made it to good ground. And the ground that received the seed, why, he said, it bore fruit 30, 60, 100 times the investment. Now there's a bunch of people around that said, wow, that was a good story. Then they went home. But the disciples came and pulled on his toga and said, Lord, we know that this word picture, this story is more than just a story about a farmer that has had a seed and has bad aim. We know it's more than that. We know that he's sowing seed on a windy day and that's dumb. But we know it's more than that. There's truth embedded in this. Tell us, what is the truth? We want to receive it. And the Lord whipped around and said, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You see, the Lord is saying, because of your receptivity to truth, knowing that it's not just a good story, not just an event, this is something that embeds truth. And because your heart is inclined to truth, I'm going to tell you what the kingdom of God is all about. And when I read that, I thought, oh, Lord, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. I said, Lord, I want to know that. That which is your insight or your knowledge or your wisdom or your direction, that would be a mystery to most people. I want it to be normal to me. Lord, how do I get that revealed to me? Well, in the same way as he spoke with the multitudes, he speaks to us. Firstly, it's going to be in parables. Let's read what the Lord says at the top of our notes together. As the disciples asked him a question, and then he answers it. Let's read the disciples' question first to Jesus at the top of our notes. Go. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. And I thought, well, what is this? Whoever has shall more be given, but he doesn't, whatever he has will be taken away. Wait a minute, Lord. I said, Lord, you're talking about hearts, I know, because you just talked about the soil and the seed, and there's good soil. And so you're saying a heart that has or receives more shall be given, or it'll produce. But a heart that rejects your truth embodied in this parable, even what he has, he's going to lose. I know you're talking about hearts. And then he answers the disciples' question with a haunting scripture out of Isaiah. And let's read what he says as he quotes Isaiah. Go. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. Would you circle the words closed their eyes? You see, what the Lord is saying here is this. When I give parables to people, there's going to be some whose hearts have become dull. And they're actually going to shut their ears and close their eyes because the truth is coming. And if they receive the truth, why, it would change them. Their hearts would change. Their hearts would return and I would heal them. But because there are some people, listen, there are some people when parables come into your life, my life, when the truth is suggested in some way, I don't know if my heart is ready. I don't know if my heart is ready to change. And God speaks truth to your life and to mine. I'm hearing what you're saying, Lord, but I don't know if I'm ready to change, if I want to change. And so what I do is I shut my ears and shut my eyes. And when the truth is coming, well, I just close up. And the Lord is saying, Wayne, this is what I want. Because you see, I don't know if my heart is ready to change yet. Just don't know. And that's the truth with so many. You see, one of the hardest things about the human condition is this. People don't like to change. I like the way I am. I think there's nothing wrong with the way I am. I think it's fine. Yeah, sure, I blow up once in a while. I get mad, but that's the way I vent. That's the way I get it out, you know? It's all right. I tell people what I think. I'm not opinionated. I have a good, strong mind. I'm single-minded. I just know what I know and know what I don't know. So I'm just going to tell you what I think. You'd rather have that than anything else, right? So I'm just going to tell you what I think. And by the way, when somebody cuts me off in the freeway, I'll let them know what their IQ is with one hand. I'll let them know. And that's just how I am. Hey, I don't need to change. That's who I am. And you see, it's really hard for people to change. And sometimes when the truth comes and the Lord says, no, we don't get to do that. You see, because I don't know if my heart's ready to change. I just don't know. And so what the Bible says is we close our ears and shut our eyes. And what we want to do is we want to stay the same, but we want to have kind of God's endorsement to the way we live. So what we do is we just amass for ourselves more scriptures so we can endorse and rationalize the way I live and just feel less guilty about it. So I bring in all of these scriptures and I get more religious, but I don't change. I just get more religious about the way I live.
What do you mean? Well, you know, I know she's not my wife, and I'm kind of in love with her, but the Lord says, love your neighbor. I'm loving my neighbor's wife.
Hey, I know, maybe living together is not the best thing, but you know, hey, God's a God of grace. He's a God of forgiveness, and I want to be a person who receives His grace and forgiveness. And we just start amassing scripture so that we're okay, and we don't have to change.
You know, the Bible says that every herb of the field is given for our use, and I'm using this one. Praise the Lord.
I just had to do that one. And so we get all of these things. So what happens is we don't change. We just get more religious. And we got all kinds of reasons and rationale as to why we do what we do. But you know what? You'll do that for 10 years and you won't change. You'll just get more and more religious. That's what happened to the Pharisees. Who they confessed knowing God, but their hearts were where? Far away. And we can be that. Because you see, we don't like to change. It's the hardest thing for the human condition to change. How many of you would raise your hand and say, yeah, I have a hard time changing. Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of you that just didn't raise your hand because you said, I ain't going to change. I'm not going to raise my hand. He liked me to raise my hand. I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to raise my hand. Raise your hand. Isn't that true? We tell kids, don't do this, and what do? They do it.
Do this, they don't.
That's just how we are. We have a kind of a contentious bone in us, and we don't want to change, but we don't want to feel bad about it, so we just get scriptures to mix it in, so we get more religious, but we don't change at all over the years. And that's why you have some people that name the name of the Lord, and they're living in horrible ways, but they're super religious. That's what happened. You rewind the tape. And the Lord says, when I speak to you, you close your ears, you just get more religious about your own lifestyle so that you don't feel as guilty and you're okay now. And the Lord says, that's what Pharisees are made out of. Yet their lips are closed, but their hearts are far away. So he says, there's going to be some people whose hearts will become dull. Well, you say, well, Lord, how do I test my heart to see if that's me? If that's kind of the, put the dipstick in my heart, is that my kind of heart? Is there a test for that? Mm-hmm. Well, what? Well, he said, those are outside, I speak in parables. Huh? That's a test. Uh-huh. Yeah, you see, parables is what God used. This is first stage of testing or teaching. This is first stage of teaching. Because, you see, here's the thing about parables. Parables yield up the truth gradually and gently. And only those who really want to hear the truth will catch it. Those whose hearts are inclined to truth will say, oh, that's a truth. You just spoke something about that. Ah. To other people, if they're just, happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me, happy birthday, happy birthday. If they're just closing their ears, then it's a nice story, but that's as far as it goes. But those whose hearts are inclined to truth, even though truth is couched in a parable or word picture, they'll say, I got it. I got it. I got it. And the Lord says, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. You see, here's the thing about parables. Would you write down number one, parables test the receptivity of our hearts. Parables test the receptivity of our hearts. And as he said about the Pharisees, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You see, parables will test the distance of your heart to the truth. Is it a long ways away or is it really close to the truth? It's a receptivity test. Because here, listen carefully. Parables don't demand that you obey the truth. It just suggests it. Parables yield up truth as an option. It points to it. It highlights it. It hints at it. It advises it. It gives it to you as a piece of advice, but it allows you to make the final call. It'll mention it, but it won't mandate it. It will suggest it, but it won't insist on it. You see, would you write in number two, parables start by offering truth as a suggestion. Parables start by offering truth as a suggestion, but it leaves the final call to you. And sometimes it doesn't even tell you the consequences of that truth if you don't abide by it. It won't even tell you the consequences. It just suggests. And if your heart is inclined to truth, you'll catch that suggestion and you'll make the changes. And when that happens, the Lord says, now you're someone who have ears that's starting to hear and eyes that are starting to see. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And God begins to reveal or speak to, and you start to hear, and ears are developed, hearts are open. But that's your first test. He starts by giving parables because parables just suggest truth. Doesn't demand it. Let's read what he says in Matthew 13:34. Go. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. Yeah. You see, the question is this. What is your tipping point as to when you will change? Is it when truth is just suggested? When it's offered as an option? And if you don't take it, you won't see any difference in your life. So you think, then I don't need to respond to truth. When will you respond to truth? Is it way over here when your job is on the line, when the handwriting is on the wall, like that bony finger out of Belshazzar's day, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, when that bony finger wrote, you have been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. Is it when pain becomes your taskmaster? Is it when consequences becomes the judge? And if you don't, then the divorce decree is waiting in the sheriff's hand. The TRO is waiting to be served. When it comes to that point, is that when you change? Because it doesn't take much faith to change at that point. It just takes a little bit of brains. But you see, over here, you rewind the tape. When truth, same truth now, was now offered, not as a mandate, but as a suggestion. Not as a demand, but as a piece of advice. And when you, in the midst of a parable, say, I got it, and that's enough to make me change, the Lord says, now that is a man or woman of faith. That is the person to whom the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven will be revealed. Because if it takes me here before I change, then I'll change only because I have to keep my job or have to do this. It doesn't take any faith at all. And if you keep doing this, oh, you'll change, but you'll only change to the slightest amount, enough to stay ahead of the consequences. And you know what will happen? At the end, you'll become more religious than transformed. Say that again. You'll become more religious than transformed. And you still will not hear the voice of God speaking to you. You'll have ears that are dull, hearts that are dull, eyes that are closed. But back here, when the parables are spoken and truth is just suggested, you're starting to catch it. You say, okay, well, Wayne, I'll read the parables differently from now on. No, no. It may include the parables in the New Testament, but here it is. Please listen. You will go through parables every day. Parable events where it is a word picture in the midst of a conversation with a friend and he or she advises you of some truth. When you're in a conversation around the breakfast table or in the cafeteria, and you can be talking about a conversation that's 100 miles away, but all of a sudden something will be said and you'll go, whoa, that was God. And nobody else knows, but what that person just said was God's voice to me. I know what he's saying. And that's a parable moment. It's a parable event. There'll be times at the office you'll have a discussion. Someone will say something. Well, I don't know. Now, I'm not saying that people, when they just give you their opinions, there's people that'll give you opinions. They're a dime a dozen. But you'll be listening in a conversation, talking in a conversation, in the middle of your devotions, in the middle of a church service. Something will be being spoken about, and all of a sudden you'll say, whoa, that was God. And that was for me. That's a parable moment. That's when truth is just suggested. Truth is just an option. Truth is mentioned. How are you doing in the parables of life? Because that's the first stage of God speaking to you. That's where he checks if hearts are open and receptive. And sometimes we'll hear a truth, and yeah, but if I don't change, if I don't do it, no one's going to know, because you know nobody knows anything here. So we just leave it at that. And then your heart becomes dull. And you start to close your eyes and your ears shut down. And why should the Lord reveal anything of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to you? Because you're not ready for truth. My heart is not, I don't know if my heart's ready to change. Then you will have to hit the consequences in the walls. But you see, if back here, if you're a person who can incline your ear to truth in the midst of the parable settings, you'll hear the Lord whisper, blessed are your eyes because they see. And your ears because they hear. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Because you responded and changed when truth was still an option. See, when you invest in truth in its beginning stages, when it's just a suggestion, when it's a good piece of advice, when it is a suggested course of action, and you say, that's good enough, that's God. It'll come, as I said, in a conversation. You'll be sitting reading a book. You'll be talking with a friend. And they could be talking about something 100 miles away, different subject. But you'll just hear a phrase, a sentence, and you'll say, oh, that was God. That was God. And you then say, I'm going to make a change in my life because God just spoke to me. He'll say, blessed are your ears because they hear. to you. You're the kind of people that I'm going to reveal the things of heaven to. And then you change. You don't just get more religious, you get more transformed. And that's what the Holy Spirit's desire is, to change us from glory to glory into His image, not to make you more religious and not change at all. Because otherwise we'll get more religious and less transformed. And we've got lots of those around. We don't want to add to that group. And when the Lord just suggests something, it's enough to change. And when I think about that, when truth is but a suggestion, it is enough to get me to move to action. That's the making of someone who will hear God. When I think about that, I'm reminded of a story in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. In the Old Testament, David had just become a brand new king. He was reigning in a city called Hebron. Now, Hebron is below Jerusalem, somewhat near Bethlehem. At that time, the Philistines were pressing in from the west, from the coastal area. And one of their cities was Ashdod. And in fact, today in Israel, there is a city called Ashdod. And that's where the Philistines were. From the eastern border were the Ammonites, where if you look at Jordan, the capital of Jordan's Amman, the Amman or the Ammonites or the Ammonites, that's where they were pressing in from. And so they're pressing in to take Hebron, where King David, the new king, was reigning for the first 7 years or so. And then he moved up to Jerusalem. But for the first few years of reigning and ruling, he reigned from Hebron. Now, the Philistines decided to come in and take David. And David prays, "Lord, should I go after him and attack them in battle?" And the Lord says, "Do it." So he goes to this desert area, fortress up in the desert, called the Rock of Adullam. Now, down in the valley of Rephaim, down in the valley, is the city of Bethlehem. The Philistines had moved in, taken Bethlehem, and now they had encamped and entrenched their garrison of Philistines in the city of Bethlehem. They had overrun it. Now, David, this new king, had some of the best fighters around him. And in 1 Chronicles 11, it details and defines these 30 mighty men of David, one of which was Joab, and another was Eliezer, and another was a man named Jashobeam. And so they've got these guys here around David. Now, one night, David was walking. He could see Bethlehem some miles down in the valley. And they were just talking like friends. And David said, "Hey, Joab, hey, you guys, do you remember that water that we can get down in that well of Bethlehem? Isn't that like the best water you ever tasted? It's like cold, freezing cold water from the ground. Isn't that good water?" "Oh, yeah, man, that's good water, David." "Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, it tastes like Evian from the dispenser. I mean, it's just so good. It's chilly. Whew, man, wouldn't that be great to have a drink of that right now? Oh, man, that'd be good. But the Philistines are down." "Yeah, I know. But wouldn't that be great?" "Yeah, that'd be great. Whew. Hey, anyway, I'm going to go to bed. Hey, I'll see you guys in the morning." "Okay, good night." Well, David goes to bed. These three men sneak down the miles of ravine, and they decide to go get some of that water for David. All night they're sneaking down, and then they wait in hiding until the Philistines are sleeping. And then they break through the gates, sneaking into Bethlehem now. And you've got these Philistines, snoring Philistine snores, and they're walking over them. And they're tiptoeing all the way to the city square, where there's Philistines everywhere. And they go to the well. "This is it. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, cold water. Okay." And they take down the buckets. And they get all the way down. And they bring it up. And they pour it into their Jamba Juice thermoses. Fill it all the way up. "Okay, let's go." And they sneak back out. Now they go through this whole city. They sneak back out through the gate, and then they trace back up this mountain miles till they finally come to where David is, and he's just getting up in the morning. "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Hey, good morning. coming. And these guys run up to him, David, David, remember you were talking about that super good, fresh, cold, freezing cold water from the well at Bethlehem? Oh, yeah, wouldn't that be great if we had some? Well, we just want you to know that we spent all night going down there, and we got you some. It's in this thermos, it's freezing cold still. Have some. And they pour it into this tumbler. And David looks at this. He said, you guys did what? Oh, we went down there and got it. No way. Yes way. You mean to tell me you snuck all the way into the well of Bethlehem and got this? Yes, King. This is amazing. And he was so stunned. He was so impacted. This is what he did. He doesn't even drink it. He says, this is far too precious. In fact, number three, let's read the scripture first, and then we'll fill in the blank a little later. But let's read what David did with this. Let's read it. Go. David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, far be it far from me before my God that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? For at the risk of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. Here's what David did. He was so impacted by this sacrifice. He said, I'm not even worthy to drink this. And he went out to the altar of the Lord. And he knelt down and he said, Lord, there's only one king that this is worthy to give to. And he offers it as an offering to God. And he says, this is only fit for worship. And he uses it as an offering of worship. It was that precious. Now, did David demand that those guys go get water? Did he say, hey, you gotta go get me some water from the well of Bethlehem? You understand me? Go get, move, get down that hill. No. Did he say to them, hey, listen, hey, if you guys give me some water, you know what I'll do? I'll raise your salary a little bit. Yeah, in fact, I'll give you overtime, you know, midnight shift. Yeah, you get more pay, 10 cents an hour. Go. No, he was just musing. Just the musing, just suggestions of the king. Just saying, wow, wouldn't that be great? And listen, here it is. And it was the musings of the king that was enough to motivate these men to action. And when the musings of the king is enough to motivate his servants to action, that becomes the highest form of worship. In fact, would you write it in your notes now? The highest form of worship. The highest form of worship is when the mere suggestions of our king moves us to action. You see, back here in the parables of your life, and you're going to go through them today and tomorrow and the next day, there will be parable events when you'll be sitting in conversation with your spouse, with your children, and you'll hear a phrase and you'll say, that was God. And those things can come through all kinds of different avenues, your spouse, your children, through people you don't even like. But if you're resistant to truth, you'll discard and you'll disqualify everything that person says because I don't like him. But if you're listening, and even in a conversation, that could be a benign conversation, but all of a sudden you'll hear a phrase and you'll stop and you'll say, whoa, that was God. Now that was God. He just spoke to me about this or about that. And when that is enough, now I'm not talking about someone's opinion or just your emotional response to, I mean, you'll know that's God, because he had been already dealing with you in this area about the situation. And then you'll hear him speak. And when truth is still a suggestion now, and that's enough to move you to action and change, all of heaven stops. And the Lord says, there's no higher worship than what that person is doing right there. That is the most precious worship there is. You see, we can stand here, which I would love to do, and sing 50 million songs of praise and hymns and have a 200 voice choir and have 50,000 instruments playing and just do this all day long. You know, that's nice worship, but you can do that all day long and still not change as a Christian. You can just get more religious. And we think, ooh, that's woo-hoo, that's wonderful worship. It might be, but also, let me just tell you this, that's fine worship, that's fine worship. But let me tell you, the highest form of worship is when truth comes to us as a suggestion by the King, the musings of the King, and I hear His voice, and that's enough to motivate me to action. The Lord stops all of heaven and says, you see that son, you see that daughter? There's the highest form of worship. There's no greater, more pure a worship than what you just saw right there. Because we can have people playing guitar or playing piano or whatever, singing, and underneath they're a prima donna or there's got something else and it sounds real cool, looks real nice. But it could be that I haven't changed for years. I'm just much more religious than I was 3 years ago. But you see, when transformation happens is when in the parable events of my life and I just hear the whisper of the Lord, Wayne, change that. Wayne, stop that. Wayne, do this. Got it, Lord. Got it, Lord. Got it, Lord. Then worship is happening all over the place. That's the highest form of worship. Why? Because His children are being transformed from glory to glory into His image. That's the rising of the bride of Christ. The beauty of the church is being seen. There's no higher form of worship than that. And then the Lord will say, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord will begin to speak because your ears are starting to hear and your eyes are starting to see. And boy, you'll start to hear from the throne of God all the time. That's what our prayer is for this church. This week, here's your assignment. You're going to be in many parable events where you'll hear a phrase and it could be nothing what you're talking about. Or it could be something 100 miles away that the conversation is all about and you'll hear something here. Unrelated. And you'll say, whoa, that was God. Is that enough to move you to action? That's where parables come in. That's the first stage of His teaching. That's what tests the receptivity of our heart, whether or not we're inclined to truth. And if we are, and we say, oh, that's enough, just the musings of the King is enough to motivate me to action, then the Lord will say, you will be bearing fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. That's where the good soil is. And when that happens, He'll stop all of heaven. He'll say to them, you see this group down here called New Hope? They are those. Those are the people that they know how to worship with their life, not just with their voices, with their life. And these are people who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Hey, let's reveal to them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You watch. That's what God will do. And that's the kind of people we want to be. Amen. Let's be that kind of people this week. Let's stand together. Thank you. We're going to bow our heads and pray, and then we'll sing our final song. Before we do, let's pray. So would you bow your heads with me? Father, I know that we'll all be a part of parable events this week in conversation, in devotions. When we're doing daily devotions, we'll just hear a word from God and we'll know that it's from you. I pray that that will be so stirring in our hearts that it'll motivate us to action. And then we'll understand what the highest, purest form of worship is. And it doesn't matter if we play an instrument or sing. Worship is best found in those who are obedient and are changing. People whose hearts are inclined to the truth. So, Father, would you give us those kinds of hearts with good soil? No one will know. Nobody. But we will, and you will. So may we be that kind of people. With your heads bowed, you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, sometimes I have to wait till my back is up against the wall before consequences forces me to change. I'm just not too quick at that. Maybe that's what the Lord said in Luke 24 to the two on the road to Emmaus. He said, oh, ye slow of heart to believe. I don't want to be slow of heart to believe. I want to be someone that when the parable events of life take place, just the musings of the King are enough to motivate me to action. Lord, would you change the speed of my heart and change it so that I'll be able to hear you when truth is but a suggestion and it's enough to motivate me to action. Lord, would you give me that kind of heart? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yeah, Father, would you see my hand? See my heart attached to that hand as well. Yeah. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you'd say, you know, I don't even know if I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord, as Savior. I mean, I go to church and I know about God, but, you know, I don't want Jesus just to add blessings to my life and I stay the same. God isn't someone who will just help me to do what I want to be and stay as I want to stay and just kind of bless it, Lord, bless it. Because then I'll get more religious, but I'll just kind of stay the same because I'm playing my song, I'm singing my song. And I know Jesus wants to come in and give me a new song, change my heart, change my life. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he'll be a new creation. Old things have passed away, new things have come. I need a Savior. I realize often, more often than not, how finite I am, how frail I am. And it reminds me that I'm in need of a Savior. And I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. If that's you, and you've not done that before, and you just say, you know, God knows I need forgiveness and I need a new beginning. Lord, come into my heart. If that's you, just raise a hand right now, and in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Okay, yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, just tell him so, tell him so. All of heaven is awaiting your permission for him to move in your life. Because God is a gentleman. He'll never force truth down your heart, your life, down your throat. But he'll make it available, and he'll wait for your permission to say yes to him. Anybody else? You didn't raise your hand. You say, that's me. I want, okay, all right. You too, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you too. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to lead you in a word of prayer, and would you pray this prayer after me? And if this is the first time you've received the Lord, outside, just stop it at any of the tables and just say, I said yes to the Lord. Could I get what we call a yes packet? A yes packet has a Bible in it and some follow-up material. And it's wonderful in your first few steps with the Lord. So just ask them for a yes packet and they'll give you one free of charge. It's just for you. But let's pray this prayer out loud and I'll give you the words, you add the heart. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. I give you my heart and ask that you would change me. Make me the person you created me to be. Help me to have ears for truth. When truth is but an option, I will hear your voice. I will make the changes because I want to hear you say, blessed are your ears. Blessed are your eyes. So now I say this so everyone can hear. So you can hear me. So I can hear myself. And so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for this church. Just the most wonderful church in the world. What precious, precious people here that have hearts that are inclined to truth. Lord, would you continue to grow us, not just more religiously, help us to grow us more in likeness with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to follow Jesus for the very first time. Welcome to the family of God. Let's sing together.
We were.
Have a wonderful day. Give someone a hug on your way out.